Okay, there's a measuring cup, you guys. In this episode, we're going to talk about that.
A measuring cup?
There's a measuring cup that's been in our relationship.
Oh, the third member of our relationship, the measuring cup?
It came from the time we began as a couple. It was a gift while we were dating from Matt and almost caused us to break up. But if you listen, we will tell you how this measuring cup, how we use it, and how it's a good reminder emphasizing honesty, authenticity, and clarity over games and mixed signals, looking at how things and people need to measure up for our self-worth for a healthy relationship. Thanks for tuning in. Here we go. I am Fawn.
And Matt. We're an interracial couple with two kids wanting to do something that highlights the power of friendship and what it means to be in the company of true friends. We're going to move our society away and out of the loneliness epidemic and into a friendlier, happier world. Welcome to our friendly world. Better, stronger, together.
Welcome back to our friendly world, everybody. Matt took a sip of coffee. Hold on 1 second.
Hello.
There you go. Welcome back. Okay. So a long time ago, I think in the 90s, it was, I think 1996, a book came out called The Rules. And it was for women who felt frustrated by dating in secret. A lot of women, young women, we would pass around this book and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we would try to do it because we always seem to break all these rules without knowing. And then there was a lot of backlash against this book. And we'll get into that. But I want to revisit some of that because it's been on my mind a lot lately. A lot.
Okay.
So I just wanted to bring it up. I actually went to the library to check it out because I got rid of it. Because there are times when you look at it, you're like, this is so like caveman-ish. Like, it's not evolved. But it's not true. That's not true. That's when you start looking at and listening to people that try to change your beliefs for their own agendas. And I think I know there's a whole lot of that happening right now. It's happening to our kids. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in politics where, I don't want to get into it, but to just describe it this way, which a friend of mine describes it, is what was up is now down. What was down is now up. Everything has been so topsy-turvy and there's no middle ground anywhere. So anyway, another reason this book was popular was because we needed something simple with actionable guidelines because we had no mentors, no parental figures to say, hey, this is how you should be. This is what you do in this situation. This is right. This is wrong. We had none of that, especially mm-hmm. Gen X, right? We raised ourselves.
Truth.
All right. So I'm going to, I think there were like 35 rules.
Yes, 35.
35. I just like randomly got 10 here.
Okay.
Should I go through them?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Number one, or not number one, but one of them was be a creature unlike any other. True. And let's take a look at this, not just for dating. Sorry, that was my phone. Okay. Let's take a look at this for friendship. Let's take a look at it in a platonic way. All right. Not just for dating.
Right.
All right. So be a creature unlike any other. Isn't that what we've been saying? Is like be original, be thoughtful. Don't be like trying to listen to only yourself and be the one that's talking all the time. But have some mystery about yourself, right? Have something interesting that people can be attracted to.
Right. Well, I would argue that part of it is follow whatever your path is and don't sweat it too much. As far as like, if you are really all about, you know, the Ashes, which is a rugby contest between England and India, if you're all about that, be all about that, for goodness sake. Don't be like everyone else in, let's say, America who doesn't care about it. You know, do what you do.
Be original. Original. Don't follow the trend. Don't follow the thought patterns that everyone else is jumping on, because a lot of the stuff that's happening now, especially, I hope in a few years would be like, what was I thinking? Because I'll tell you right now, I have lost so many friends by choice. Like, I've walked away to the point where I'm kind of like a hermit right now, because I feel like so many people have glommed onto a certain ideology.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, don't you understand this is hurting people? Like, the way you're thinking and the way you're behaving is not okay. Anyway, I don't want to get into that too much. But another one was, don't talk to a man first. Now, we were talking about this and saying, okay, let's go through some of the rules, and some of them were definitely big no-nos in friendship. However, I'm like, yeah, that's true. Like, you should totally be talking to people. However, if you want to know if the person you have as a friend is truly a friend, why don't you just like hold back and see if they ever call you? Do they ever text you? Are you the one who always initiates everything? And if that's the case, quietly just step away. Step away and put your focus somewhere else.
And it depends on the type of friendship that you have and that you want to have with this person. Maybe, you know, you call this person because they get concert tickets.
Right, but it's not. Talking about true friendship
here. Well, okay, but there are different.
But that's when you're using people.
Yes, Nico Machian Ethics tells us different levels. So.
That's not our goal. Our goal here is to develop.
Okay. We'll stay focused on the true.
True, meaningful friendships. So, but here comes the other one. Don't call him and rarely return his calls, which is kind of what I just said, right?
Right.
So if you want to find out if someone is truly your friend, are they still with you? Like, are you the only glue? Is it a one-sided sticky tape situation?
And there, of course, it's ironic, because if you absolutely never call them, then yeah, there you go.
Another one was always end phone calls first. And I was telling Matt, lately I've been ending phone calls. My entire life, I always waited for the person, friend, to hang up, you know, not to hang up first, but to end the call first. And there were times where I really needed to go, but I didn't want to be rude. And I just felt bad for ending the phone call. And then they would do it. And every time they did, mm-hmm. I felt like I lost a lot of my power, you know, because it gives them the upper hand. And it's an unspoken thing. This is my opinion. That happens where they feel empowered.
Right.
You know, they take away your power in a way.
On some level. But I do appreciate when I would fall asleep when we were talking to each other on the phone that you didn't just hang up.
Yeah. When we were dating, all of a sudden I would hear, because we would talk for hours and hours. And when you're lying down
on
the phone,
having a cozy, comfy conversation. God.
Anyway. Okay. So here's where the measuring cup comes in. Stop dating him if he doesn't buy a romantic gift. So while we were dating, I think it was the first gift you ever gave me.
Right.
Was a measuring cup.
Right.
I was so offended. And I'm like, whoa. Because in the rules, it says, if you don't get romantic gifts, it means he's not interested in you in a romantic way. And so I got a measuring cup, you guys. First of all, I mean, I'm Persian. I don't measure things. I always use even with baking, I don't think it's a science
this
like how everyone says.
This was all new in our relationship. This was brand new. However, point of order, I would like to cite that that is not the actual rule. The actual rule is you have to receive romantic gifts on Valentine's Day and your birthday.
It was the first gift you ever gave me.
Yes, but specifically cited in the book, it cites Valentine's Day and your birthday.
I love how you remember.
Point of order.
I think, was it after we got married? I shared the book with you. I'm like, look at this. Despite all these rules, look at it. We made it. But we made it because I already knew you were committed. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I was.
That book was for women who couldn't have someone to commit to
them.
Well,
also who couldn't discern that they had someone to commit. And also, I was being authentic.
Well, it was kind of presumptuous because I never measure, even to this day. Now I try to, and we always use that measuring cup, by the
way. We still have that darn measuring cup.
And I like it. It's the only thing that's actually lasted. One of the things that it's lasted in our kitchen as far as like stuff like that. But it just, I was like, what do you mean? First of all,
First of all, she's looking daggers at me, folks.
Like, are you saying I was a bad cook? You know, like, what is this about? What do you want me to... Why are your eyebrows going up? First of all, I didn't really cook back then. But it's really interesting, though, because I never thought I would become or have my own bakery, which I did. I developed all these recipes for vegan pastries, and this was a long time ago. And I'm obsessed with cooking and baking. So I think that was one of those gifts that you saw in the future with. Like, it was a symbolic thing. Now that I look back on it, I see the beautiful symbolism in it. Stop batting your eyelashes.
I'd love to say I was that smart, but I wasn't. What I saw was I was telling you I was paying attention. That was one way I could show you I was paying attention, because right. I noticed that you were cooking and you didn't have a measuring cup.
I didn't want one.
That's beside the point.
But actually...
On some level.
Okay, deep down,
and that's rude of me to say, but...
Deep down, I actually wanted stuff like that. I could never afford to have like gadgets and stuff for the kitchen. So
I got you a practical but somewhat nice measuring cup. I didn't get you like the $10 million, but I didn't get you the $2.
But that's a very good example of friendship, because noticing what the person may need, you know, but then also communicating like, hey, this is why I got it, instead of like letting the person stew for many years over like, what do you mean? What does this mean? What? Anyway, another rule was don't rush into sex, and other rules for intimacy.
But we're not going to comment on that one, right?
Well, no, the thing is that, you know, like, don't rush into it. I've always compared myself to a golden retriever, like a dog. I'm like jumping in to be best friends with you right away. And one of my friends, Wendy, like, without doing it on purpose, but in such a loving way, trained me to have patience, you know, and to have things blossom over time. And over time to realize, hey, we have so much in common. Hey, this is a lasting, long haul, forever friendship.
Right.
You know, instead of just jumping into it and going, hey, you're my best friend. I love you so much. You know what I'm saying? Which is what I tended to do.
Right.
All right. Don't expect a man to change. Yeah. Don't expect people to change.
Don't expect your friend to change. Don't expect. You can show.
Accepting them as they are.
But you need to accept, you know.
As they are.
Yes.
As is, which is Nicomachean number 3. What was another one? There was one about be honest but mysterious. How would you equate that to a friendship role?
Mysterious.
Share, but don't overshare.
Right.
I think in certain situations, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking about like maybe like planning to do something fun with them and like, you know, going for it just a smidge.
Yeah, honestly, there have been some friends in our circle that shared way too much about like their personal stuff that I really didn't need to hear. Like certain friends would tell me about things in their marriage, like sexual stuff. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? This is none of my business. You know, oversharing.
Right.
But, and then I've been thinking about it. I'm like, this person was traumatized. They really wanted to talk about it. But I was not prepared for that because we didn't have that kind of friendship. So that was oversharing, like not reading the room, but needing to get it out of them.
Right.
You know, like you just needed to express it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember when we first became parents, we had so much trauma at the hospital and we had no one to talk to about it. So whoever we would meet, I would start crying and like telling them what happened. And I could see on their faces, like I was oversharing and they didn't know what to do. They didn't want to do anything. Like they were trying to escape, but I needed an outlet, and therapy wasn't helping. I needed friends that I felt like had my back,
right.
And we didn't have that. So I was just oversharing with anyone that was there. If you can just sit quietly and be with whatever happened to you, if you allow yourself to feel it, it just needs to have a voice, like how you need to have a voice to express something. The trauma needs to be seen. That's my advice from personal experience. There was another one, and the last one for today. Don't live with a man. Or leave things in his apartment.
Wow.
Before commitment. I guess that kind of also goes into what I just said about oversharing. Don't put a whole load on someone thinking that
they won't leave it outside their house.
Oh, and that too.
Ask you to pick it up.
Well, no. Like thinking that they'll keep it there in their sphere. You know, they may like take it and use it as gossip. Because
right, that's true.
You don't know if they're a true friend or not. Maybe they can't handle it, so they end up gossiping, basically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting looking at the criticism of this book. As it came out, I remember people saying, oh my God, this is so outdated and it has such rigid gender roles and everything. And that's the one thing that I remembered that I was talking to you about in the kitchen. And right when I said that, our youngest came in and overheard me say, yeah, about the gender roles, and totally started talking about, yeah, like trad wives and how everyone is totally bashing trad wives. I'm like, hold on. Do you understand that from my perspective, how people are bashing trad wives? You're basically saying me. You're saying anyone who is traditional anything that is like a normie is clueless, has nothing going on in the brain, that is doing whatever the husband says, you know, like, and I think our kid paused a little bit, hopefully. I don't know.
Well, I think when our child bounced towards, husband won't let them dye their hair. I mean, they went to the real extremes, and I was like, okay, not that dyeing your hair is this, but, you know, if your husband is that controlling of you, that's abuse. And I think that's what stopped them. And right, again, with right. friendship, you right. know, if your friend is trying to control you, if...
That's called having an unhealthy relationship. It has nothing to do with being traditional.
Nothing.
And I think the same people, I think they're bashing women, basically, and by creating this term, trad wife. They're bashing women. And it's happening in so many ways right now. You know, I take major objection to that. And not that I'm a traditional wife, but I am in certain ways, you know?
But also, you do you. I mean, that's welcome to one of the key... you know, keys, capstones for friendship. Mm-hmm. Be you. And if that's you, then that's you. And to me, that was always kind of the big issue with the rules is, you know, you do you. Now, obviously, you've discovered that what you've been doing isn't working for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in the self-help section looking for relationships.
But like, remember what happened a few days ago? Or was it last week? I don't know. The time goes by so fast. Things were kind of like melting together. But it was a Saturday morning and I had just gotten up. I went to my desk and I had a lot to do. And you come up and, you know, we haven't seen each other that much because the schedules have been really different lately.
Off kilter. Yes.
Off kilter. And not that we're not together, but there's just been so much going on. And I was thinking, wow, you and I don't even go out on dates anymore. Like I have to fight for your attention between the kids. The kids need to be with you. We all need one-on-one time with one another, as well as together time, all of us together.
Mm-hmm.
And with trying to work and making money to survive, there's no time for that.
Right.
And that was my original point of contention. And that's why I started the whole friendship movement, is because I noticed that that's what happens, especially in our American culture. We're working so hard to make ends meet. And even the people that are wealthy, they're still working so hard. There's no time for friends. There's no time. Everyone, remember, we did episodes about it in the very beginning. The four-letter word, busy.
Right.
I'm so busy. I'm busy. Oh, I'm busy. And when anyone would say that to me, and no one says that to me anymore if they know me, and if they use it, they like profusely apologize for using the word busy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, everyone's busy, but like instead of saying I'm busy, say I am washing my car today, my hair, whatever, or I need to do this. Don't just say busy. But we are so busy that it's hard to have meaningful connections.
It is.
It's hard to have that time where you're just quiet together, maybe, or even just by yourself to stop and reflect or stop and calm down and stop and anchor yourself and feel grounded. None of that. It's a constant go, go, go. So you came up to me while I had rushed down. I'd just gotten up, brushed my teeth, taking care of the stuff, went to my desk, and I was like, okay, open up the computer. I had so much, I had a list of things. And you come up, you're like, you want to go on a date right now? I'm like, why didn't you ask me a few days ago? And that's one of the rules is in that book was do not ever accept a date. Oh. If they're asking you on Monday, you cannot go on a date. You cannot accept it until, I think it was after Wednesday or Thursday.
Right. It was Wednesday.
They need to schedule with you.
Right.
And it seems harsh, but really it's about self-respect. And I was like, and that's another case where the book came up in my head. I'm like, and I looked at you and I said, Matt, I would love to go on a date with you. And I've been wanting to ask you, but why are you asking me at the last second? Like, I can't right now. I want to. I just felt disrespected in a way. Like, what I'm doing doesn't matter. So, like, you can just drop whatever you can because now I'm done with my stuff. I can go for coffee. You want to go right now? And as much as I love being spontaneous, when you're so rushed for time, rushed by time, it just feels like if the person has the courtesy to say, hey, next weekend, let's do this at this time. There's such a sense of honor about it. Don't look away. Matt looks all guilty. Matt.
Yes.
What I'm saying is I totally want to go out on a date with you. I just want to be asked and given some time so I can figure out my schedule. It sounds so awful for me to say that. I'm sorry. And I'm looking at your face now. I feel like crap. I don't know.
It's a tricky one, and I get it. And, you know, there have been points in the past where I've, you know, tried to, you know, schedule something, but then it feels like you rush so hard to make the time. And I feel terrible for that.
Well, you're also
I gotta rush so we can relax.
Right.
Ugh, that but doesn't you, feel right.
You're very British in that if we have to be somewhere or leave at 3, if you're not at the door with your shoes on, your coat on, ready to go, you get upset. Understandably. So I get it. But I operate differently. We've talked about this before. I don't want to really get into it, you know? Because I was always taking care of something. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just me putting on my shoes and my coat. It was, oh, wait, this happened with this kid? Okay, let me fix that before we go. Oh, wait, I just realized they didn't eat anything, even though I made food for them. We can't go out unless they eat, you know? Or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always something for me to take care of, and then I'm late. So, anyway, I'm rushing.
But anyways, we're not doing a podcast to air our individual whatevers. And I do get it, and I do try. But let's face it, folks, we can always try a little harder.
Anyway, but going back to the rules.
Going back to the rules.
The rules of the game, the rules of friendship. You know what? I'm going to write down all my rules for friendship. That's what I'm going to do.
All right.
Should we do our own book?
Maybe.
A book of rules.
We shall see.
All right. Is there anything else you want to add?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there is. There's one rule that you forgot that I think is just plain old good.
Well, I just picked out 10.
That is just plain old good. It's the last rule.
I can't believe you remember all this. I don't even remember. What was it?
Be easy to live with. That's it. In friendship, try and bring a lightness to it. In relationships, try and bring a lightness to it. Sometimes you can't, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield. It's just...
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Right.
Why would you use that as an example?
Sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail. But no, there are points in time where it is very, very difficult. We all go through difficult times. But, you know, in general, try and be easy to live with. That's all.
Why are you looking at me? I'm very
because
easy
I
to
do
live
try
with.
To be easy all to right, live all with. Right, and I know right, that there oh are God. Points in time. My goodness, I am impossible.
Me too. But like, it's not just marriage. It goes for friendship. Absolutely.
It does.
It's the same rule. Same, yes. same.
There you go.
Okay.
All
right, so we'll talk to you in a few days.
Be well.
Have a beautiful every day.
Bye-bye.